From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Togiak herring fishermen are expecting a huge harvest in 2020, but wonder if they will have buyers for so much roe. Yes, Alaska has plenty of reasons to be proud of its fishing industry, not the least of which is more than 9,000 fishing vessels. It's home to 6 of the nation's top 10 fishing ports, and the commercial fishing industry is the largest manufacturing sector in the state. Coming up, a snapshot of the fishing industry. Meanwhile, out the chain, Unalaska's Marine Center is ready for occupancy after 2 years of renovations. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Sea Grant, sponsor of the Alaska Young Fishermen's Summit, a place to improve your skills and learn more about the industry. January 21st through the 23rd in Juneau. Find out more at alaskaseagrant.org.
Fishermen participating in Alaska's largest herring fishery have a huge quota to fill next year. But there's a hitch. They don't think they'll be able to sell all that fish. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Izzy Ross took a look at the decline in the herring roe market.
There are plenty of herring in Togiak on the northwest side of Bristol Bay. This year's quota is roughly 80 million pounds. But herring fishermen who come to Togiak from all over the state still have a problem. They target herring for their tiny eggs, which once commanded steep prices in Japan. But now that's not the case.
My name is Bruce Shockler. I live in Kodiak, Alaska. I am a recovering herring fisherman.
Shockler has been fishing in Togiak off and on for more than 3 decades, but he won't be returning this summer.
The market is so bad that Trident is not going to be buying fish in Togiak this year, and so we're not going.
Trident is one of 4 companies that buy herring roe and sell it to Japan, the only customer. In the 1990s, that roe could sell for $1,000 a ton, but in 2019, that price was at $75. Fishermen like Shockler say that even at that low price, processors are still losing money on herring.
Every ton that is frozen and shipped off to Japan is a loser. There's no money being made.
Sitka, the state's other major herring fishery, has been struggling as well. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game said this season that the fish were too small to be commercially viable. One reason for the decline of the herring fishery is that roe has become less popular in Japan. There's also the country's buying power. After the profitable 1980s, the Japanese economy crashed and in the 90s underwent a long recession, becoming the so-called lost decade.
The real estate and stock markets shot up, creating a bubble. But then suddenly, the bubble burst.
One other event that jolted Japan's roe market was a corporate gift-giving scandal, where bureaucrats were rebuked for accepting favors and expensive items from businesses. Once popular gift packs of high-end herring roe had far fewer buyers.
Maybe the most extreme example I'm aware of how a major Alaska industry could be dependent on an extremely specialized foreign market.
Gunnar Knapp is a retired University of Alaska professor and an expert on fisheries economies. He says the narrow market for herring is a stark contrast to the diverse buyers of other Alaska species.
Lots of other places you can take that where they'd be happy to buy our salmon or halibut or cod, but this was a market that was overwhelmingly dependent on just one buyer for one particular kind of product, and so it's very sensitive to a change.
Togiak seiners still hauled in a record 23,000 tons last year. Robert Hayano has fished there for 4 decades, and he says the industry has to start thinking about other ways to sell its herring, for example, as bait or food.
If we're going to try to increase the value of that fishery, got to expand it to different from a single market to multiple markets in a different product form.
Prices for bait can be much higher than for roe, but it costs a lot to transport the fish out of Bristol Bay. Togiak spawning herring also have lower oil content, so they're less appealing as food or bait. But the market for roe is saturated, according to Hayano and Frank Woods, another Dillingham herring fisherman.
The market can't bear that much product on the market. It couldn't bear the last 2 or 3 years of excess fish on the market.
To keep the fishery viable, Woods thinks that fishermen need to start exploring a different approach. But for now, he still plans to fish for roe in the spring. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
There's a lot going on in Alaska's commercial fishing industry, and it has a major impact on the state and local economies. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has this snapshot of commercial fishing.
Alaska's seafood industry is driven by over 9,000 fishing vessels, including about 100 large catcher processors and 100 large shoreside plants. Alaska is home to 6 of the nation's top 10 ports by value, and the industry generates more than $150 million in public revenue annually. Seafood accounts for the largest manufacturing sector in the state. That's according to an end-of-year industry update compiled by the McDowell Group. Other findings, Alaska's seafood industry puts nearly 60,000 people to work and generates $2.1 billion in wages and $5.6 billion in economic output. Alaska's biggest catch is pollock, and its most valuable is salmon. The volume of Alaska's catches averaged 5.8 billion pounds for 2017 and 2018, with Alaska pollock contributing 58%, followed by salmon at 14%. The dockside value of Alaska's catches totaled $2 billion, with salmon accounting for 33% of that value. Alaska pollock was at 23%, and cod accounted for 11% of the total harvest value. In terms of products, 85% of Alaska seafood is sold frozen. Headed and gutted whole fish make up 41% of the product value, with fillets making up 20%. Only 3% of Alaska seafood goes into cans. About 80% of Alaska seafood is exported, and export value fell 4% in 2018. Alaska produced just 2% of the world's seafood in 2017. The biggest uncertainties facing Alaska's seafood industry stem from changing ocean conditions and ongoing trade disputes.
That was Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
With renovations complete at the Unalaska Marine Center, city officials are finally getting ready to lease out the dock space. Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin says the city attorney is now finalizing a request for proposals for terminal service agreements.
What we're looking for are companies to come in and bid on what they need for dock positions, what they would like for backreach parcels, what they need for time slots, and a length of term.
McLaughlin says the city is looking to sign 5 to 10 year deals with cargo companies, fuel carriers, and other port users. With long-term contracts, she says, businesses will get predictable rates and consistent operating windows, while the city can work toward paying off the $35 million bond that's allowed it to upgrade the Marine Center over the last 2 years. Ann McLaughlin says the city should be able to serve all interested companies, thanks to 1,600 linear feet of dock space, 800 feet of crane rail, and 168 hours of available scheduling.
I do believe that if we have multiple requests, that we will be able to accommodate multiple companies. And basically that's because the carriers that are interested in a long-term use agreement are the carriers that we're already accommodating today.
Still, some companies expressed concern about competition and preferential use when officials first raised the idea of inking new deals back in 2017. But City Manager Erin Ranger says she expects the bidding process to go smoothly now that the renovation is finished and they know more clearly what they can offer.
Dialogue and relationship building, I think, goes a long way, you know, builds a significant level of trust, I hope, you know. And, you know, we are really trying to put this idea forward as a win-win for industry and for the city. It allows for transparency and predictability for on all fronts.
Ranger said that the RFP will go out sometime in the next few weeks. After bids are in, city officials will review and rank businesses based on their volume of operations and revenue, their length of term, and their previous history as a port user. From there, the city council will discuss and approve contracts.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Izzy Ross with Alaska's Energy Desk, Laura Craigle at KUCB in Unalaska, and Lainey Welch with Alaska Fish Radio. Happy holidays to everyone. Enjoy yourself, and please, stay safe. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.